Hey, great friends. What's going on? Hey, it's Wednesday. It's Kaplan and crew. Got Grande. No Brown, man. We'll talk about that in a second. Hey, let me have a chance here to talk to you guys, especially those of you that get in early or those of you that come back and watch the show later in the day, to tell you that we got a great, great, great show today. Coming up today, Coach Brian Dutcher will be here. We're going to do a San Diego State basketball season in review. And also from San Diego Magazine, Troy Johnson is going to be here. And you've seen Troy on a million different shows on the Food Network and on the Big Ten Network. And we're going to have a great show. I promise you that. Plus, Charlie Rolfs is coming on today from the uncensored portion from Torrey Holistic. So let me just make a couple of mentions here. One, 7 Mile Casino. 7milecasino.com is the website. And Alex will put up the QR code for 7 Mile Casino here in just 1 second. If you want to play blackjack and poker and other table games, and you want to have a great brunch, lunch, dinner at Sammy's Restaurant and Bar in a smoke-free environment with easy parking, access right off the freeway, and the best location in San Diego County, 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. And when you're down there, shoot a picture, text it to me, tweet it to me, Instagram it to me, Facebook it to me, TikTok it to me. I don't give a shit. Show it to me. Okay. 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. Hey, last night, Prize Picks. Alex, you hooked me up last night when it came to Prize Picks because I took LeBron James because I knew he was going to have a big night. He did, but the Lakers didn't. I took the discount on Luka Doncic and Bernard Thompson. I'm talking to you, buddy. You told me that Luka wouldn't be able to do it because they'd be up so big over Charlotte that they'd pull him out of the game. They didn't. He blew it away. Okay. Points, rebounds, and assists. And then you told me, Alex, take Fernando Tatis to not do anything based on what he had done the night before. Perfect. He was 0 for 4. Sorry, Padre fans, but that's what I was rooting for because I wanted to win. I took $20 and I won $100 yesterday on Prize Picks, and I'm feeling pretty damn good about myself. Download the Prize Picks app. Use our code GREATFRIENDS. They'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. I put in $100 when we first got with Prize Picks. I've never put in another dollar, never one time. Download the Prize Picks app, use our code GREATFRIENDS, and they're going to match your first deposit 100% up to $100. Hey, let me just mention everybody, our people at Blenders. Everybody who sends me messages about Blenders, thank you, okay? I had a guy send me a message today about Blenders. He's like, dude, I love Blenders. They're my favorite glasses. He goes, but I had a really weird situation happen. I moved and my Blenders got sent to my previous address. And thankfully, I know the people who bought my house and they were able to get me my glasses. He's like, so you got to tell Chase about that. I'm like, bro, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like maybe your credit card was still attached to your previous address. You have to put in your new address to, you know, to get delivery. But here's my point. Thank you for buying the Blenders. Thank you for rocking the Blenders. Thank you for using our code Kaplan, which saves you 20%. Some of these guys are telling me that they bought during the 50% sale and didn't use our code. So we're not even getting credit for everything that we're doing. They're amazing glasses. They're priced right. If you scratch them, if you break them, if you lose them, you're not like just so pissed off. I bought 6 pairs the other day just because I want to A, support our sponsor, and B, I want to have an entire collection. BlendersEyewear.com. Use our code Kaplan. You're going to save 20%. Let me give a big shout out to my guy, Gary Cooper, Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299. Any transaction you're thinking about making in real estate, you talk to Gary Cooper before you do it. You're thinking about buying, you're thinking about selling, you're in a situation where you want to talk about refinancing, even though it's not the greatest time in the world to do it because of interest rates, talk to Gary. Don't make a move in real estate without first talking to Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299. And one last mention, my guy, Brett Weiss from Mushroom Life. You know, this Saturday night, I have a buddy of mine who's having a birthday party and he hurt his knee and he's really, really bummed out because he can't train right now. And he hurt his knee really badly. And I'm bringing him bags of Mushroom Life coffee. And I'm just going to explain to him, listen, I'm not telling you this is going to fix your knee. I'm just telling you that the Mushroom Life coffee has this anti-inflammatory mushroom in it. And why not try everything humanly possible? So for me, I get a lot of focus when I use the Mushroom Life coffee. I take one scoop, I put it in my regular coffee, but anti-inflammatory mushrooms, also a big part of the Mushroom Life coffee. So I'm going to give it to a friend of mine this Saturday night for his birthday. Use our code KLIFE, K-L-Y-F-E, KLIFE 20. You're saving 20% and put in the notes that you are a great friend and Brett Weiss is sending you all kinds of goodies. Let's get going. We got a monster show. Let's do it right now. We'll be right back. Hey, great friends, what's going on? It is Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man, minus the Brown Man. I'll tell you about that in a second. And we are coming to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com, to all of our great friends who listen on 1090, listen on terrestrial, traditional, old school AM radio. If you are driving around right now and you are somewhere in San Diego County, think about 7 Mile Casino. It's only 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego. If you want great food, terrific gaming, easy parking, smoke-free environment, and the best location, 7 Mile Casino is only 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego. And by the way, Alex, I got a call yesterday from a longtime great friend who drives a Tesla. Okay.
Yeah.
And in a Tesla, they don't even have radios. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So he listens to 1090 on an app inside of his Tesla. And he says, Dude, the app is not working for me. And so I sent a message to Bill Hagen yesterday, the owner of 1090. And I said, Bill, are you finding or are you hearing anything like this? And he said, no, I haven't heard this. So he tested it on a Tesla and he said, works fine for me. So if you got a Tesla and you are struggling for some reason to listen to 1090 on the app, I would suggest to you that you uninstall it and reinstall it. I've never done that in a Tesla. I have no idea if that really works, but I'm giving you a
suggestion. You don't even know what that means.
I don't even know. I don't know how to uninstall or install. I don't know how to do either of those two things. I'll tell you that right now. We have got a great show today. I'm going to tell you why. Let me set it up for you. Today, Coach Brian Dutcher from the San Diego State basketball team will be here. And we've got a lot to talk to Dutch about. The amazing run that this team has made over the last two seasons. Losing to UConn, who's won back-to-back national championships. They lost last year in the title game. They lost this year in the Sweet 16 game. I mean, nothing to be ashamed about, especially when you're losing to a team that's going on to win the national championship. Brian Dutcher will be here. We're going to have a really nice conversation with Coach Dutcher, so stay tuned for that. The second thing that's happening on today's show, which I'm super stoked about, there's a guy coming on the show today. His name is Troy Johnson. Now, Alex, prior to me telling you that Troy is coming on the show, have you ever heard of Troy Johnson before?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Old school Padre fans are going to remember this. And Troy will talk about this. There used to be a pregame Padre show that was kind of like almost like a Padres game show. And Troy was the host of this. And if I had to take a guess, this is probably going back about 14, 15 years ago. When the Padres were just starting to become like a multimedia team, not just a baseball franchise. And Troy was hosting that show, I want to say from the Western Metals building. And it was a very cute show. And it was very innovative at the time. But Troy decided to buy San Diego Magazine. And he did it, by the way, at the beginning of the pandemic. So kind of odd timing. Because Troy's specialty is writing and hosting TV shows about food. And so, Alex, for someone who's very much into the food, beer scene of San Diego, you are going to love talking to Troy Johnson because he owns San Diego Magazine. He covers the food scene in San Diego. And if you've ever seen him on the Food Network, he's on that. I'm trying to remember the name of the show that he's on with Guy Fieri, where he's like a judge in one of these kinds of shows. So Troy's going to come on. He's a great dude. It's been a long time. And I'm looking forward to having him. And then Charlie Rolfs will be a part of the uncensored portion of today's podcast. So again, if you're a radio listener, if you're a TV viewer, you got to come over to the YouTube and you'll have to hang till the very end. We're going to talk to Charlie because 420 is right around the corner and he ain't going to have time for us around 420. So we thought we'd get it in today. You know what I'm saying?
Looking up my research for Troy.
Yeah.
I go on his Instagram and you know how, like when you go on someone's Instagram, it tells you your mutual friends and who follows that person.
Yeah.
Everybody I follow follows Troy Johnson. I was like, what's going on? What am I missing here? Like, what? Literally, like, hundreds of the people I follow him. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, so, it is exciting. He's a cool guy. He's a really cool guy. And I'm excited to have him
on the
show.
Cool
today.
Stuff. The guy got, he's done very cool stuff.
I mean, listen, to me, working with Guy Fieri on the Food Network, or that to me in and of itself is cool. You know,
people always tell me, like, how much fun my job is and how it looks like fun and all the cool stuff. Oh, you get to go to the Super Bowl. Oh, you get to go do the. And I'm like, yeah, but I think I take it for granted. And I say that because I look at Troy. I'm like, that looks fun.
Yeah.
Like that's a living right there, you know? Yeah. But so, yeah, I want to eat. It's called, and by the way, it's called guys' grocery games.
Yeah, right. Guys' grocery games. And Troy's like a judge on that. He's also, and he'll have to tell us more about this because he had a show, and I don't know if he still does it, on the Big Ten Network where he goes. Wait, say again.
Campus Eats,
where he goes to the different like Big Ten cities, you know, and he finds like the best restaurants or, you know, the most interesting restaurants, and he goes and he tries stuff out. Listen, dude, I'm with you. His job looks so much fun. I always think to myself, if I hosted one of those kinds of shows like Guy Fieri does, and they give me a bite of the food, I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. I can't stop. You know, so I couldn't like take two bites and go, hey, this was really great. Cut. All right, here, take
it. Or
this
like when people go wine tasting, they like swirl it and they spit it out. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Spitting it out?
I know.
What do you mean?
Like real wine connoisseurs, that's what they do. They spit it.
I have a question for him. It has nothing to do with anything that he really does, but I need help. So my wife says I have the worst palate known to the history of mankind. Like, I cannot tell you the difference between peanut butter and jelly if I was blindfolded. Like, that's how bad my recognition of palate flavors are.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Hmm.
So like, if I say something's delicious, who knows?
I actually think with Troy today, you're going to have fun because I know you've got a friend. Don't you have a friend who owns or is the chef at kind of a fancy spot in North Park?
San Diego Magazine wrote about them last year. He didn't, but one of his writers did. So I was going to ask him about that. Yeah. My buddy Daniel, who was on the show during Beer Friday, by the way, when he used to work at Stone.
Yeah.
He has his own higher end restaurant now. So yeah.
Cool. Well, we're going to have a great show today. Brian Dutcher coming on to talk about San Diego State, the run that they've made, you know, UConn's back-to-back national championships. I do want to talk to Brian Dutcher about the women's tournament versus the men's tournament. Let me ask you a question. Because I have a group text.
Let me ask you a question.
I'm going to ask you a question. I have a group text with a bunch of buddies of mine from college. Okay. Mm-hmm. So just imagine these guys are all in their mid-50s, right? They're all hardcore sports fans. Okay. Most of these guys are actually from Philadelphia. Three guys from Philly, one guy from Connecticut, one guy from New Orleans, myself. So there's six or seven of us on this group text, right? We all went to college together. They're all hardcore sports fans. And we've all been having this conversation, which is every one of us watched the women's run to the championship game.
Okay.
And it was the first year that all of us watched women's college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm of the opinion that I got caught up in the Caitlin Clark story, kind of like what you were talking about the other day, how, you know, you get FOMO if you don't know what's going on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I got caught up in the Caitlin Clark story. Caitlin Clark brought me to women's college basketball. Here's this girl playing for the middle of the country, Iowa. She's this white chick who can, you know, bomb away like Steph Curry. And to me, she became an interesting story. She became such a big star, television commercials. Her name became part of like the discussion of sports in America. And so if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark, I can honestly say, unless there was some other Caitlin Clark, but UConn had a big star, LSU had a big star, South Carolina was undefeated. But the truth of the matter is, I got caught up, if you will, in the Caitlin Clark story. Okay. The women's NCAA basketball tournament actually had more viewers than the men's.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. That's incredible.
5 million more, right? Something like that, or
something crazy.
Yeah.
But I contend that unless women's college basketball finds another superstar who kind of gets me attracted to the sport, chances are for me, this was a one-year phenomenon. Now, my radio partner in LA, Sedano, but you know, he's hardcore NBA. He's hardcore basketball. He's an ESPN company guy. He tells me that I'm missing the story, which is that Juju Watkins, who is the number one high school basketball player in the country who plays at USC and had this record-breaking freshman year, that she's the next big superstar of college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, maybe she is, but is she a crossover star where I go, ooh, that's super interesting to me? Because what made Caitlin Clark so interesting was the long range shooting. You know, if Caitlin Clark played down low, I don't know that I'd be that interested.
I don't think that was the case at all, to be honest with you.
Okay, talk to me. Let me hear your opinion on this.
I think the Caitlin Clark phenomenon was created by television networks and talking heads because, like I said, whether I liked it or not, they did a really good job of building up Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese last year in the national championship and what happened after. I think that the perceived juxtaposition of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, however it's been described, that elevated the game to make it must-watch TV. And if you don't have a rivalry in college basketball, you can have a superstar. You know, Zion Williamson was a superstar at Duke. He wasn't must-watch TV. Caitlin Clark became must-watch TV because she got her revenge against Angel Reese, and now she's going to go for it all. And she got the opportunity to, A, in the Final Four, beat UConn, who is the most prestigious women's basketball program that there's ever been. And then, B, she got the chance to take on a team that hasn't lost a game all year in the most dominant team in the past 3 years. Like, Caitlin Clark never won a national championship. You know, she lost last year in the national championship twice back-to-back. So I think that it doesn't matter if college women's has another star. It's like, where's the rivalry, in my opinion?
Yeah, no,
like, where's the story beyond the game?
Yeah, it's a good point because, I mean, to me, not to knock Juju Watkins, I hope this girl becomes as big a superstar as anybody. George was telling me yesterday she's on a TV commercial right now with Joel Embiid. I don't know the commercial. I don't know the brand. I don't know what it's for. I know that Caitlin Clark's on an Allstate commercial or State Farm, you know, an insurance commercial. I think what you're saying is right on. You know, she was built up. I mean, put it this way. Is next year, is Fox planning on putting USC college basketball games for women on middle of the day Saturday because they think that Juju Watkins is must-see TV? I don't know. I'm not, like, and by the way, I'm not downing on it. That's just it. It's just because I'm not bought in, just because I'm not bought in that Juju Watkins is the next Caitlin Clark or she's the next big star. She's going to make guys who are just average sports fans become women's college basketball fans. Just because I'm not bought in on that, I don't think makes me some hater. It's just I'm not really sure yet if women's college basketball is going to be beyond this year.
Sabrina Ionescu, who was like Kobe's protege, is the way she was built up, right? She was under Kobe's arm, and she was like this superstar, and she is a superstar in women's basketball. She participated against Steph Curry in the three-point competition at the All-Star weekend. She has her own Nike shoe. She's the only female, I believe, the only female athlete has her own signature. Not like she wears Kevin Durant's shoe. No, she has her own Sabrina's by Nike. No one's tuning in to watch Sabrina.
Who should play for?
There's no right, and I think she plays for New York.
Oh, in the WNBA.
In the WNBA, and because there's no rivalry, there's no like this Diana Taurasi hating on Caitlin Clark already. I love that. See, like that's the kind of thing the WNBA needs because it gets you to watch the product. Because right now nobody's watching the product; we're watching the story. And when you can make your game into the product, and that's when you have a base. Right now the WNBA's base is way down here. You only tune in for something like that. And I'm not even talking about WNBA. I'm talking about women's college basketball. And I'm not degrading the product, and I'm not talking trash. I'm just telling you, when you don't have a foothold in American mainstream sports, you need this extra stuff to elevate your sport into what it's become right now.
Well, I mean, look, think about when South Carolina this year and LSU had a fight on the court. And the really tall girl from South Carolina, see, I don't even know anybody's names yet, pushed the much shorter girl from LSU.
Right.
And then the coach from LSU comes out afterwards and she says, oh, I wish she would have done that to Angel Reese. You know, like let's see her do that to somebody her own size. Like, to me, all of a sudden, I was interested. I didn't care about the game. I didn't know who won. I didn't know who, I mean, obviously South Carolina won because they were undefeated this year. But like, to me, it's stories like that that get me involved. And this is what I was arguing about yesterday with George. If you're a pure basketball fan and you just love basketball, yeah, maybe Juju Watkins is the next big star of women's college basketball. But if you're like me, where you don't watch the WNBA and you've never watched women's college basketball before, it was a storyline that got me going, you know? Yeah. And I don't know if women's college basketball has arrived the way people are telling me it has.
By the way, I hope it has, man. I hope Juju Watkins, you know, invigorates the country to tune in and watch the college, because the cool thing about what's happening to the men's side is, in a little bit, because they keep switching teams, right? Like the dude that's been voted the most outstanding player back-to-back Final Fours, like Scott, his story, we don't even talk about it. Like, dude was in NC State, never played, went to UConn, and now is back-to-back most outstanding player. And I don't even know his name.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is, what's happening in men's college basketball is you're getting to know guys because they're sticking around. You know, like the guys that are coming in for one and done, they're not making runs. You know, Kentucky's not making their run. So in women's college basketball, you get to know them for 3-4 years. Like Paige Beckers was the one before Caitlin Clark was the one, and she was playing her in the Final Four for UConn. So I think that women's, you just need something to spark it. And Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Paige Beckers, Juju Walk, they've all sparked an interest, and I hope it does continue.
So do I. I hope it does continue.
Those games were way more entertaining than freaking you watching UConn kick everybody's ass.
And I'll just say this. I'm a girl dad of three girls. I want to see women's sports succeed. I love watching the U.S. women's national soccer team much more so than I like watching the men's national soccer team.
Last night, again, win another cup, the She Believes Cup. What the hell is the She Believes Cup? I don't know. But when the U.S. women are playing, I tend to tune in.
Right. I actually think I would be more interested in the San Diego Wave of the National Women's Soccer League than I will be in the MLS team, truthfully.
Right.
Seriously. Like, okay, listen, last night, Alex, you'll love this. So last night, while the Padres were playing, I want to talk about that coming up. But while the Padres were playing, I was at the Laker game. Last night.
Yeah. LA Cap, you were getting crushed yesterday.
Oh, was I? By who?
Padres fans.
Oh, really? For what?
Mm-hmm. Well, you admit when you do or do not watch Padres games.
Yeah.
But what you talked about yesterday, and while I was distracted looking up the video of what you were talking about yesterday, you made it an admission.
Yeah.
And people were like, where the F have you been?
Yeah.
Like when you talk about, when you talk about what things that you watch and things that you're just tuning into.
Yep.
People yesterday were like, so you haven't watched Padres games for 2 years then? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, this is the Polaroid picture with but let me ask you a question. Did you know about this?
Yes, we talked about this on the show because
I thought you were saying to me yesterday on text, like, dude, what are you like? Okay, listen, dude. I thought I misunderstood our conversation.
I even looked up on our Twitter. I searched at Kaplan and Crew Polaroid, and there's like a clip of us talking about it, but you weren't here that day. So this is a thing that Joe Musgrove's been doing. There was a book of all the Polaroids that was made.
I can tell you this right now. Listen, I'm not making any excuses for anything. I'm just telling you right now that 5 years ago, we had one radio show and we focused a lot on the Padres. And now I've got two different radio shows, and one focuses heavily on the Lakers and LA, and one focuses kind of its sports stuff on the Padres. And it's a lot to keep track of. And I'm just not, I mean, dude, it's my head spins sometimes. So I mean, yesterday when you and I were talking about this, you weren't like, what are you talking about, bro? I mean,
I thought you were trying to point out that it was Jackson Merrill that made
pointing out.
Right. But people, you also said that you never seen the Polaroid thing before. And that part I missed.
I forgot, man. What can I tell you? I forgot, you know? Excuse me, everybody. If that's such a big problem,
You cannot say sorry.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm sorry. I'm not saying I'm sorry. I don't care.
You can't say excuse me.
Okay, well, I said excuse me, not I'm sorry.
No.
Big difference.
People will not accept your excuse me.
Okay, well, tough. Hey, listen.
Amount of messages I got yesterday was really weird.
Dude,
I was like, what are you talking about? So I had to go, because we put it on YouTube. It was part of the YouTube clip. I put it on Instagram. And I was like, oh, yeah, he did say it. He's never seen it before.
here's what yesterday, our tweet yesterday or our text yesterday. You're like, did you not know about the Padres Polaroids? You said, I must have missed it, that you were saying that you were looking for the video. I said, yes, I talked about it. And you said, we've talked about it before today, right? I go, I don't recall. I mean, I just don't. Yeah. A lot of times when I get off the air, I forget everything that we've even talked about. You said, people are hitting me up saying how crazy it is that you've never seen it. A lot of people. And I'm like, well, first time I saw it was last night. And then you said, I was looking for the video. I must have missed it. And then you said they've been doing it for 2 years. They made a book. And I'm like, okay, yeah, now that's starting to ring a bell. Mm-hmm. So Toby says I was getting killed in the Padres forums. Hey, guys, look, you know, I said this on LA radio yesterday. I'm not faking the fact that I haven't watched any Dodger games yet either this year. You know, I'm keeping up with who's winning and who's hitting and who's got numbers. But I am not like all in yet on baseball. I went from opening day back into the NCAA basketball tournament. The women's NCAA basketball tournament was new to me this year. I put a lot of focus and a lot of time into it, and I'm putting more time into NBA than I ever have in my life or career. And yeah, some things will get by me. And Padre fans, you can complain about that. I can understand. I can. all right, listen, we're just getting rolling. You can see I'm drinking my AG1 today. How do I know AG1 is good? Because Alex asked me yesterday, hey, you got any AG1 for me? If you go to athleticgreens.com/Kaplan, you can get a subscription. You can use the QR code on the screen right now. Get healthy, man. I'm telling you, I take these travel packs with me everywhere. You get 5 free travel packs. You get the 1-year supply of vitamin D. Make sure you're getting your Athletic Greens. All right, Coach Brian Dutcher will join us next. Stick around, everybody. Hey, great friends. What's going on? It's Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. We come to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. And as promised, Coach Brian Dutcher from the San Diego State basketball team is here with us. We wanted to talk about the season, the 7-2 run. When Coach said that at the end of the Sweet 16, this group of players went 7-2 in the NCAA basketball tournament over the last 2 years. You think about that. Take 6 games to win it. They played in 6 games a year ago and lost to the national champion, Connecticut, and then got to the Sweet 16 this year and lost to, again, the back-to-back national champion, Connecticut. No shame, man. Just all pride for this San Diego State basketball program. And here is Coach Dutcher back on Kaplan and Crew. Coach, thank you very much for the time today. How are you?
Thanks, Scott. It was a lot more fun last year after we played for the championship, but We're seven in Connecticut over the last 2 years.
7 in UConn. That's exactly right. It's one of these things where it's 2 years in a row getting knocked out by the national champions. So, you know, it's not like you feel bad, like you got upset. Like when you guys got a chance to play, I think it was Yale. They had upset Auburn that's a huge upset. I mean, San Diego State losing to UConn was not some monster upset at all. I mean, nothing to hang your head. And I say that to you. I mean, you probably say that to players. So you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we wish we'd have played better against them. But, you know, Coach Hurley, he was complaining about everything, which is his stick. He's great at it. And so I was going to be so positive. You know, hey, yeah, we had to fly 5.5 hours. We'd have flown 10 to play him. But that's a hard environment, having to play UConn in Boston. That was a tough environment, a tough travel. And you know, we hung in there for a half. You know, I was playing Ladie with 2 fouls the whole first half, and I thought 4 minutes ago, I'm going to take him out for the last 4. I think we're close enough. And then they hit a 3 to go up, I don't know, 9 at half. We missed a 3, and they created enough space. And then they do what they do. They slowly, methodically blow you out in the second half, and that's what they did to us.
Yeah. Coach, now that you've had firsthand experience, obviously, and I think that was clearly the most dominant 2-year run the tournament's ever seen. Like stats tell you, double-digit wins every single game, covered the spread every single game. Like, how good were they? I know that's a stupid question because we all saw it, but like, really, how good were they these last 2 years?
Awesome. I mean, they asked me after they beat us this year, and they said, are they better than last year? I said, not unless they win a national title, because that's what last year's team did. And so they followed up with a national title. Now you can argue which team was better, the 2 that won titles. And so they've been dominant. They're well-coached. They're talented. And, you know, they're arguably the best college basketball team over the last 20 years in the country. You know, they won it with Kevin Ollie. They won it with Calhoun. Now they've won 2 with Hurley. And so they're like the gold standard right now in college basketball.
Coach, of the UConn team that you saw this year, the one that just won the national championship, just estimate for us with an experienced eye, how many NBA players are on that team?
Probably 2 or 3. The NBA is like a whole nother level, you know. So the point guard, Newton, is very good. Spencer's very good. But with the era of pro basketball, they're not really taking centers. So it's interesting to see what Klingon will do, if Edie's truly going to be an NBA player. It's such a different game they play in the NBA. So how valued are the centers anymore in college basketball moving up to the NBA?
I guess the reason I'm asking the question is if they've got three, let's just call it three NBA players, how many did Purdue have? I mean, you mentioned the center, maybe because of his height, right?
Maybe Edie. That's it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In my opinion, I don't know if they have more than that.
And then just, I mean, to ask you, you know, about your team. I mean, I think Ladie's an NBA player. Are there multiple NBA players on the current, this last iteration of the San Diego State team?
I think obviously Ladie has a chance. And then, you know, Lamont, whether he guards at a level high enough to play there, that's the question. You know, he guards, but does he score at that level? You know, so that is a hard step to make, NBA. That's like a beast of its own. You know, you have to have length. You have to be able to score. You have to play perfect basketball. And they are so special up there that not many people make that level.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my point about UConn is that if you've got three NBA players, and to everything you're saying about how hard it is to be in the NBA, if you've got a team with three NBA players, no wonder they're so dominant against everybody else.
Yeah. And it's the hard thing with NBA now. Back when I was at Michigan in 89, guys stayed to their senior year. And still, the all-time leading scorer in tournament history is Glenn Rice. And he probably is an NBA player after his sophomore year, junior year. But back then, they stayed, and you knew they were NBA players. Now it's like, do they have the potential to be an NBA player? We're going to take them because they have length in this, and then you see if they are. So there's even the NBA is still betting on what they're going to be, not what they are right now.
Yeah. Hey, how about, by the way, speaking of NBA, really quickly, just complete side note. How about former Aztec Malachi Flynn the other day? I know it was last week, Coach, but I mean, a kid who is sort of a, you know, he's a guy who's on a roster and he might score 5 points a game, to blow up and explode for a 50-point game in the NBA. Oh, and by the way, do it for a really bad team in Detroit. What did you make of that performance?
That was incredible. I mean, 50 points in an NBA game. There are guys that play a career and never do that. And so, yeah. Malachi, like most guys, he's looking for opportunity. Obviously, he didn't get a lot in Toronto. He got traded to the Knicks and then moved to Detroit. And so now he's on a team that needs him. And so he's going to have opportunity. Now, hopefully he makes the most of it. It won't be 50 every night. If it was, then some people are going to be mad they traded him. But he needs to be consistent and put his numbers up and get that second and third contract. That's the key. I mean, as a first-round draft pick when he left here, he got the guaranteed 3 years, and then I think he signed an extension. So he's making a good living in pro basketball.
Coach, when you talk about the tournament again, when you see like Calipari and him moving from Kentucky to Arkansas, and now the talk is you can't win the tournament with true freshmen anymore. You can't win the tournament with one and done kids anymore because of NIL and transfer portal. Do you agree with that statement? And if so, does that benefit San Diego State that you've been playing the transfer game here for 25, 30 years now at San Diego State? Do you agree with that?
That's going to change again, though. I think freshmen are going to have a chance to impact the tournament. But right now with the COVID guys, the fifth-year guys, that makes a difference. But all of a sudden you drop all fifth-year guys away, and now it's four-year guys against freshmen, then maybe they have a better opportunity to do that. So once this COVID year runs out, and now you don't have to sit anymore as you transfer. So there are going to be no more fifth-year guys in basketball. They're only going to be four-year guys. And so the difference between a four-year guy and a freshman is probably smaller, obviously, than a fifth-year guy and a freshman. So maybe freshmen will have an impact moving forward again.
Coach, could you just explain that? We're talking to Coach Brian Dutcher, the San Diego State basketball coach. So it's 2024, and COVID happened in 2020. And so college sports, not just basketball, are still kind of flushing out kids who had extra eligibility. I mean, San Diego State had a quarterback a couple of years ago who was from Carmel Mountain in San Diego, and he transferred after playing at San Diego State because he started his career at Georgia Tech, came to San Diego State, and then finished his career, I want to say it like Montana, but he was like a seventh-year player. Yep. The University of Miami has had a tight end who I want to say was like a 7 or 8 year guy. There was a kid, I think at Rice, who was like an 8 year college football player, injury, COVID, blah, blah, blah. So, and even Jaden Ladie, wasn't Ladie like 24 years old this year? Maybe yes. He was like a sixth year.
Could him and Luka Doncic were the same age, are the same age.
Yeah. Would you those just, guys, explain the whole,
this is the last year for COVID.
Okay.
So anybody that got the extra COVID year, it runs out this coming year. So like a Lamont Butler, if he came back, would be his fifth year. And that's the last year for that. And it used to be when you transferred and sat a year, you'd have to sit a year out, and then you'd get to be a fifth-year guy. Now, without having to sit out a year and COVID running out, there are going to be no more fifth-year seniors. It's almost going to be impossible unless you redshirt as a freshman to get a fifth year. So the fifth-year senior is going to be going away, in my opinion, at the end of this coming year.
Wow. Coach, I am curious. There are so many high school, good high school basketball players in San Diego, but and everybody would love to play at San Diego State, right? But there's only a certain amount of roster spots, and there's certain things that you're looking for in recruiting. But do you possibly keep up with kids who are from San Diego who did not, who you guys didn't recruit necessarily, but went on and had success in other places? Do you keep up with these kids' names?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one perfect example is Brandon Angel from Torrey Pines.
Yes.
You know, he went to Stanford.
Right.
He's graduating this year, and he'll play his fifth year somewhere else. And he turned into a wonderful player for Stanford and is getting recruited at the highest levels.
Why would he play elsewhere? And why do guys not stick around for their fifth year at the school that they've already played at?
I don't know. Maybe that's like Keyshawn Johnson question. You know, he played 4 years for us, graduated, and then got big NIL and went to Arizona.
Oh, okay.
You know, so sometimes, you know, Scott, I know I forgot what it means to be younger, and you're getting there. But sometimes you want to be adventurous as a young guy and say, let's try something else our last year.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I love it, I want to try a new experience. And sometimes it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
What about your guy? What about your, I mean, since we're here,
yeah.
Any indication on what Lamont is? I know he's doing the whole NBA drafting again, but he hasn't entered the portal, right, officially? So,
no, I'm meeting with he and his parents, I think, tomorrow. I'm doing exit interviews right now. We got done with the season, then we had spring break. So right. I had a week before I started meeting with guys. And so I'm meeting with all the guys and trying to discuss their futures, whether it's with us or in the portal or somewhere else. And that will be a discussion we have. And you can't be mad over it. It's everyone in the country's having these discussions.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the new nature of what we do. And so I've made a career of adapting to the rule changes, and I'm adapting. And my job is to keep San Diego State at a high level, keep us relevant. And that means transfer portal. That means NIL. And I'm going to promote the Mesa Foundation, MesaFoundationSD.org. You know, we need people to contribute. And we have entry levels to get into Mesa, $20 a month. Anything we do is going to help the program. And as good as I am and my coaching staff is, if we don't have NIL, we're going to cease to be relevant. And so we have to support Mesa Foundation and find a way to keep raising money.
Yeah, I'm glad you actually mentioned that, Coach, because, you know, we've talked to the guys from the foundation. They hit us up when they first formed the foundation and said, hey, you know, we need your help to get the word out, and happy to do it, obviously. You know, when I look at Lamont, just by the way, you know, he's got a lot of deals. You know, he's got he's got a lot of brands behind him. I don't know what kind of money the young man is making. I don't know what kind of money is out there for this young man at another school. But gosh, you know, Alex has over his shoulder, you can probably see it, he's got the picture of the shot that he made last year in Houston. And it's the most legendary moment maybe in San Diego State basketball history. Gosh, I would hate to see that kid go play somewhere else. I mean, to me, finish what you started. But like you said, these young kids, they're adventurous. They want to try something new. Maybe there's more money in another spot. So I hope people will Alex, if you put that back up on the screen, I hope people will go to that website and contribute. But Coach, I hope he sticks around.
Yeah, so do I. And we'll have that conversation. So Lamont's been a great player for San Diego State, and hopefully if he doesn't find that pro opportunity, he'll have one more year in an Aztec uniform, which will be good for all of us.
Yeah, it really would be great. Coach, speaking of all this NIL stuff, you know, we work with Chase Fisher over at Blenders.
And he's the best.
The best, right? Is this guy the best or what? He's a, you know, San Diego State student, alumni, has this amazing story of wearing these goofy sunglasses to a nightclub one night. He borrowed $2,000 from his roommate. He started Blenders. He ran out of money very quickly. And all these years later, Chase was able to take his passion for creating fashionable sunglasses and his passion for San Diego State basketball and put this deal together for the kids. And the signage around town has been amazing. We use it on the show, and it seems like everybody loves it. And I saw the picture before. I think you were leaving for Boston. Chase had come to practice, and he took a picture with you and him.
Yes.
And so, I mean, just I love the guy, and we love working with him. And I'm so glad that that he was able to generate all that money and hand it off to the team, because that's the NIL support you guys need.
Absolutely. A guy that grew his business locally, was a San Diego State grad, and is giving back to San Diego State basketball. And it's beneficial for both of us. You know, we wear the product. We love the product. He can have an affiliation with San Diego State basketball. And both of us grow our brands. And that's what we want from this. We want more corporate sponsorship, but obviously we need individual sponsorship. And like I said, people don't think $20 a month, if we get 2,000-3,000 people to join at that, we can stay relevant.
Totally.
You know, some of these programs have whales where they're given $1 million a year. We don't have that. We have people that contribute, but we need the masses that love San Diego State basketball to get involved.
Yeah, I love that idea. And I think, you know, taking $20 a month, so figure $240 a year. And if you could have 1,000 people doing that, that's, you know, $240,000. I mean, Alex, I know my math.
I don't know. You lost me after $20 a month.
We're talking to Coach Brian Dutcher.
Hey, it's less than a Netflix subscription.
Yeah, so, that's for sure.
You know what I mean?
And my Netflix subscription doesn't work because of my old email address, and I can't figure out how to get it to work. So I'm going to cancel my Netflix, and I'm going to contribute to the Mesa Foundation. Coach, I would love to get your opinion on something. I'm sure you've seen this, that the women's tournament actually had more viewers this year than the men's tournament. And I'm trying to figure this out because it's the first year I've ever watched the women's tournament. I don't know if I'm going to be a women's college basketball fan going into the future. I'm not sure. To me, I got caught up in the Caitlin Clark phenomenon. How about you?
That's it. This is basically back in the day where Larry Bird played Magic Johnson in the national championship game. It was as much as the teams, it was those two individuals. And so you start throwing individuals out there, you know, people aren't as invested in the team, UConn, Iowa, but Caitlin Clark, UConn, Angel from LSU, they're invested in those individual stars. And so do they have the next individual star to step up there to say, boy, I want to watch this one girl play, the all-time leading scorer? You know, that's the thing. So people like UConn, but who was the star of UConn? Are they invested in that one player? And so when you run across a guy that's drawing ratings on his own, then the ratings go up.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I'm not really sure. I got caught up in it, but I'm not really sure if I'll be caught up in it in the future. Coach, I would love to just ask you this. It's been such an amazing run for you and for the program. But because you're the head of the program, you're the head coach, you get rewarded for success. And I'm just curious, I mean, real life talk here for a second. What's your life like now from when you were an assistant coach and you're making assistant coach money, and then you become the head coach and you get to make some head coach money, but then you're a coach that's led a team to a national championship game and now led a team to a Sweet 16. And now you're making a lot more money. I don't mean to pry into your personal checkbook, but how is life different from assistant coach money to now like real head coach money?
I mean, it's like you, Scott. I mean, you're saving money down the road if you make enough for your kids. You know, try to have some kind of generational wealth where you can pass it on, because I live no different than I've lived since I got here. I live in the same house we got 25 years ago when we moved to San Diego, you know. So we're not buying bigger houses. We're not trying to drive nicer cars. We live how we live, and we love San Diego. We love our lifestyle. We love our friends. And so it's mostly just putting it away to try to make a difference in your kid's life someday, maybe.
Yeah.
So you did sign a 5-year extension, which I was stoked about. I'll ask you straight up, is this the last contract extension for Brian Dutcher at San Diego State, or are we looking for another 10 more years here on the Mesa?
Well, if Scott was my agent, I know I'd get 10 years. So I know he can negotiate for me. But no, come on. As long as I have the energy, I feel good about it. I love coming to work every day. You know, I don't know how long I'll stay. You know, Coach Fisher, he came in and I didn't have any heads up. He came in and said, that's it. I'm retiring and you're the new head coach. It wasn't like he'd been telling me for a year he was thinking of doing. He just felt he'd had enough and was ready to retire. And so you don't get to retire as a coach very often. And I may not get to retire if I don't keep it at this level. So I go to work every day trying to make us better. And that's my goal. Make us better every day.
Yeah. I like hearing the news though of extension instead of will he go to Minnesota? You know, that was a fun off season.
So yeah, if I went to Minnesota, Jan wouldn't have come with me. Like, no, I'm gonna stay here in San Diego, so no.
And coach, just for everybody that's listening that gets to know your family, and everybody doing good, I hope to hear.
Girls are doing great. Both married, happy, have a grandchild, Miller. So she's the best. And you know, life goes on. Everybody's happy. We're all healthy and just trying to enjoy every day here in San Diego.
Oh, amen to that, coach. Coach, congratulations on another incredible year. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time. We sincerely appreciate it. And we're going to make sure that when you leave, we're going to put that Mesa Foundation website back up for everybody. Cause I'm with you. If everybody could just donate $20 a month, which I know for some people you can't do it, but if you can, $20 a month, and let's all help this San Diego State basketball program and help bring kids in and help keep the kids that are here. Thank you, coach.
Thanks, Scott.
Really appreciate it. Coach Brian Dutcher from San Diego State basketball with an extended conversation. Alex, throw that up on the screen one more time for everybody that's still watching here. We'll take the break here in a minute, but I just want to make sure we show it to everybody. Coach is trying to check out right now. And coach, just the red X down in the bottom, get you out of here, get you back to work.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for everything.
Hey, we appreciate you, coach.
Let's share a meal one of these days, Scott, when you're back.
Coach, how about this? Jen loves the Naked Cafe in Solana Beach for a little brunch on a Sunday morning. What do you say to that?
Just give me a call. I'm always free.
Okay. You got it, man. Yeah, now that we're into the offseason, for sure. Thank you, Coach. We appreciate you.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. So the Mesa Foundation, it's important, really. If you could take $10 a month, $20 a month, $100 a month, whatever it is, and contribute to this basketball program, that's how we're going to keep this thing as fun as it's been. Thank you, Coach Dutcher. We appreciate you guys. Thanks to Chase Fisher, by the way. We got in a nice little Blenders plug in there. Use our code Kaplan to save 20%. And we're back right after this. Hey, everybody. I'm just calling a quick timeout here at halftime. And because I've mentioned Prize Picks, and I've mentioned 7 Mile Casino, and I mentioned Mushroom Life and Blenders, and Tory Holistics is coming up in the uncensored portion of today's show. I'll make this really, really brief. Just do me one favor. Make sure you go to our website, kaplanandcrew.com. That's where you can buy our merch. That's where you can see all of our videos. It's where you can follow us on social media. You can put in your email address and we'll put you on our list, which, by the way, we've done a shit job. It's not my fault or Alex's fault, believe it or not. It's just a whole software transition from one company to another company. Alex, how are we going to get that fixed, man?
What fixed?
The whole email thing. We haven't been sending emails out.
Yeah, I need to find time to do it.
Yeah, I know. You're a busy guy. All right, listen. Just go to our website, kaplanandcrew.com. We appreciate you guys. Hook up with the merch, and I'm rescheduling the cruise for June. So those of you that have already bought, don't worry. You're still going to use it. All right, let's get back to the show. Hey, great friends. What's going on? It is Kaplan and Crew here. And I got to tell you guys something. I'm literally glowing after that conversation with Coach Brian Dutcher. Because
did you text him already?
Well, yeah, because I texted him immediately and I said, thank you, coach. And he got back to me and he said, appreciate you, which is like, you know, I like to say that too. And I said, right back to you. And, you know, as we were saying goodbye to coach, and coach was having a hard time like logging out, it was like, hey, you know, let's get together. And I'm like, hey, coach, I would love to, because I would run into coach's wife, Jan, as he mentioned, at a spot we like in Solana Beach called the Naked Cafe. People are wearing clothes and the food is great. They have an amazing smoothie, by the way, and very healthy, nice and clean. You're right on the beach. It's beautiful. I would love to get together. I feel like, you know how earlier, Alex, we were talking about how Padre fans were kind of pissed at me because I made a big deal about this whole Polaroid thing the other day.
Mm-hmm.
In many instances, I've become somewhat disconnected. I'm just being honest about it. I used to go to every San Diego State basketball game. I used to sit courtside. I would see the coaches before the game. I'd talk to the coaches. I'd hear the calls of the plays that they were running. But here's the truth of the matter. You know, when 1090 went off the air in 2019, I realize it's 5 years ago, And then ESPN came and hired me in 2020. And I've got this thing that I'm on the air till 7 o'clock up in LA. I can't get to San Diego State basketball games. You know, I have a hard time getting to Padre games.
You have a hard time getting to sleep.
Dude, my first Padre game, I literally have it on my calendar. The first game that I have calendared is May 26th. It's a Sunday when the Padres are playing the Yankees. That's how in advance calendared I am. Last night I got a text from a longtime great friend and he said, "Hey, I know that the boat trip didn't happen yet, but maybe we could do a Padres meetup." And I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. You know, what we maybe should do is we should look at the calendar, look at who the Padres are playing, find a Saturday night or a Sunday, especially Saturday night, probably harder because, you know, Saturday nights are all probably pretty much sold out, but find a Sunday afternoon, tell everybody, "Hey, let's all buy tickets, you know, for the park in the park." I realize they're probably not $5 anymore like they used to be back in the day.
Definitely not.
But, you know, not because we're not all going to find a seat together. You know what I'm saying? But if everybody bought park passes on a Sunday afternoon and we did a meetup, that would be awesome. I would love to do that. But I will just tell everybody, listen, I'm not making any excuses and I don't care. You can rip my ass all you want. That's fine. With four kids and colleges and tours and spring breaks and multiple radio shows. And by the way, throw another business on top of it all. Bro, my head is spinning like never before in my life. And I always thought when I was like 18 years old, when I looked into my future, I was like, "Hey, by the time I'm 54, which is what I am, by the time I'm 54, I mean, man, I'll be making money. I'll be easy street. I'll have the nice Corvette that I want. I'll have the nice big house that I want, et cetera, et cetera." And guess what? Life happens. And the things that you thought were going to be automatic aren't. And I don't know about the rest of you guys. I'll just tell you this, and Alex, I think you're probably in the same boat. And tell me if everybody else is. I'm working harder. I'm working longer hours. I'm working more than ever before in my life. And I'll tell you this right now. I took it for granted because in 2019, before 1090 went off the air, bro, life was on easy street. I made really good money. And I did a radio show from 3 p.m. till 6 p.m. I showed up at the radio station around 2. Billy Ray and I would hang out in our office. We'd throw a football around. We'd play guitars. We'd screw around. We'd go on the air for 3 hours. 6 o'clock, I'm out. I'm home. Life doesn't work like that anymore. Not in this business.
Yeah. Things happen, bro. Hey, so continuing the conversation about women's basketball television ratings.
Yeah.
How about this, dude? So I don't know if women's college basketball will have the same. I know Brian Dutcher said, "Hey, this is a phenomenon. This is a Caitlin Clark phenomenon. You have the all-time leading score." How about this? The WNBA national television schedule is out for the next season. The Indiana Fever, which is where Caitlin Clark will be drafted in, what, 5 days? Of their 40 games, 36 of them are on national TV.
On where?
So there's two on CBS. Mm-hmm. There's two on ABC. There's six on ESPN. There are four on Amazon Prime. 13 on NBA TV, one on CBS Sports Network, and eight on ION, whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
The first four games of Caitlin Clark's career will all be on national television. First one being May 14th. So you don't have to wait. In a month, she'll be playing in the WNBA. And she's playing Connecticut, believe it or not. ESPN 2, and then Prime Video, ABC, and ESPN. She'll be on national television four times in a week.
Okay. I guess I'll just ask myself this question. I'm talking out loud here, but it's May, right? Mm-hmm. So the only thing that's really, really going on is baseball season playoffs. And NBA playoffs. So again, I mean, I said this as the other day, the first 12 to 14 to 20 games of the baseball season are not that important to me, which is why I was more focused on the men's NCAA tournament, the women's NCAA tournament. And that took my attention away from baseball. Mm-hmm. So now you get into mid-May, you're starting to get into a pattern of watching baseball, and you're now focused on the NBA playoffs. Now, a lot of you guys who are listening in San Diego, you don't care about the NBA playoffs. You don't give a rat's ass. And by the way, presuming the Lakers get knocked out early, because last night was such a disaster, and they're probably going to go into the play-in tournament as a 10 seed, which means they're going to have to go on the road and win twice just to get into the playoffs, which I don't know if they're really going to be able to do. I doubt it. If the Lakers season is over, isn't it kind of like when San Diego State's basketball season, when the run ends in the tournament, you just stop watching the tournament?
I don't know. Are you?
Probably. Like, for me, probably so. Like, if the Lakers aren't in it, I'm probably not really watching that much until you get to the finals. And then let's say you've got Denver versus Boston. I'm just making it up. And you're like, wow, that's an amazing matchup. Let's watch it. Yeah.
I watched last night. Confession, I'm back. And I watched the Lakers last night. And again, you know, it's a close game. And then Darvin Ham's magical coaching abilities. He's like, you know what would be a really good idea? I don't have Anthony Davis today. Let me bench LeBron, Reeves, and Rui at the same time. And let me run with my backups. Oh, now it's a 19-point game. Wow.
The end of the third quarter, the Lakers have now pulled to within five. This is against Golden State last night, who's having an absolutely legendary night shooting.
Like the best night shooting.
Right. There's some stats to go with it. You could probably put them up on the screen. Take us through these stats real quick, and then I'll explain. Because let me tell you something. Draymond Green was 5 for 5 from three-point range in the first half.
Right. The highest single-game three-point percentage in NBA history happened last night when the Warriors went 26 of 41 at a 63.4% shooting night. 26 three-pointers made.
Again, Draymond Green. 5 for 5 in the first half.
Right.
So you've got no Anthony Davis in the game because he was nauseous and his head hurt.
But not in concussion protocol.
And not his eye. Everybody told me he got poked in the eye on Sunday. I was like, no, he didn't. He got forearm to the head. That's all. You know, and I read the columns today in the LA Times. We don't want to say he's soft, but his injury history kind of lends to people thinking that he's soft.
Well, it's also sometimes the Lakers don't help him. You know, like the Lakers don't help Anthony Davis, like because they're so non-transparent with any injury that they don't want to ever come out and say what's actually happening. Mm-hmm. But they will tell us he's not in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
Put the guy in concussion protocol, then we understand.
Right. Everybody leaves him alone.
Right.
You know,
but the fact that it's not an eye injury. He's just nauseous, but he's not in a concussion protocol. They don't do him any favors.
Right. Well, here's the thing. This gets us back to the Caitlin Clark thing.
Yeah.
By the time we get to May, we'll be into the NBA playoffs, which, again, a lot of people who are listening to us in San Diego don't care. They're Padres-centric. They are completely, utterly, emotionally focused on the Padres exclusively. Okay?
Yes.
So for me, I will be, you know, partially into the NBA playoffs. But again, as soon as the Lakers get knocked out, I'm probably gone. I might give Kawhi and the Clippers a little bit of time, maybe, but probably not very much.
So that week that we're talking about specifically,
yep.
just the first week, middle week of May, first week of the WNBA season. You know, it's Padres, Rockies, and Padres at Braves.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, Padres, Braves is certainly very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll say this.
In Atlanta, not in San Diego.
Yep. So you'll see those games at, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Correct.
You know, I'll tell you this.
Oh, that's weird. Monday, May 20th at 9 a.m. against the Braves.
Oh yeah.
Four-game wraparound weekend.
Wow. Hey, I'll tell you, this weekend, Padres Dodgers in LA. You talk about like the start of the season. They played the Dodgers and they split when they were in Korea. And yeah, you know, they played the Giants and they lost that series. Okay. And you know, they had a split in the series in the first series of the season. And then they lost in San Francisco 2-1. But the Padres against the Ohtani led Dodgers.
And on Friday, Yamamoto again. And you roughed his ass up in Korea. And now he's been pretty good since.
And who will the Padres send on Friday?
Michael King.
Oh, okay. So, hey, battle of two new pitchers for their new teams. Right.
Saturday, Gavin Stone against the knuckleballer Matt Waldron. That probably won't end well for the Padres. And then on Sunday, James Paxton against Yu Darvish.
Okay. All right. Well, hasn't been a great start for you, Darvish. It's certainly not been a good start for Joe Musgrove. If Browner were here, Browner would probably be saying to us, I told you about Musgrove. Mm-hmm. When the two of us argued on behalf of Joe Musgrove that he should be getting a $20 million a year contract, remember, that was 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, Joe Musgrove was as clutch and as important to the Padres as Manny Machado was. I mean, maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but come on, you got to feel where I'm coming from. I mean, Musgrove came up so huge in a game against New York, against the Mets in New York, and he came up gigantic in a game against the Dodgers, the clincher against the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And so Musgrove, at that point, he's the San Diego kid. He's the face of the organization. He's one of the leaders of the clubhouse. Pay that man. That's what we had a t-shirt.
Right. Pay we had a t-shirt.
They did. And guess what? Since the Padres paid Joe Musgrove, everything has gone downhill.
Yeah. Well, not everything. Because they did pay him at the end of the 22 season, and that ended pretty cool. But
no, what I mean is that since they paid him the next season last year, he got hurt in spring training. He never really was the pitcher that he was the previous year. And he's gotten off to a terrible start this year. And, you know, a lot of us looked at spring training. Well, it's no big deal. It's just spring training. But his bad start in spring training has kind of led to a bad start here of the regular season.
Right. And, yeah, and with the amount of elbow, and there is nothing being reported about Joe Musgrove, but there is nothing about him being injured. I'm just talking what my brain is thinking. The amount of elbow injuries across baseball right now is just been on another level. And when you see a guy who not only is just doesn't have great command of his stuff, like people are crushing Joe Musgrove, you know, like his batting average against is near the 400s. Like people are getting hit, players are getting hits off him. So you got to wonder, like, is there something deeper than just mechanical? Because what's happening here?
Yeah. I actually was thinking last night. So I'll tell you guys that last night I was playing Prize Picks. And the way I played Prize Picks last night was like this. I knew that LeBron James, first of all, I didn't know that Anthony Davis wasn't going to play, but I knew that LeBron James hadn't played on Sunday and that he was going to come back on Tuesday night on national TV, you know, Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, TNT, and in a huge game against Steph Curry and Golden State, last home game of the regular season, I knew that LeBron James was going to have a big scoring performance. And I want to say he had like 13, 14 points in the first half.
Yeah.
And he needed to get to 25 points and he got to 33. So I took LeBron James last night to go for more than 25 points. Mm-hmm. Because it was Taco Tuesday, I took Luka Doncic. They gave a 10% discount. His points, rebounds, and assist numbers were like 41.5 or something like that. And he wound up blasting through it. Okay, 45.5. And he scored, his total numbers were like 60-something.
61.
Right? And shout out to my man, Bernard Thompson, who told me that's a bad play because he said that Dallas was going to blow out Charlotte. And as a result, Luka was going to come out of the game. Well, that didn't happen exactly. And then the last thing I played was what you suggested yesterday, Alex, because when Tatis hit the game-winning home run against Chicago, the pattern for the Padres has been score a ton, hit a ton, and then go quiet. Then come back, score a ton, hit a ton, and then go quiet. So if you're watching on TV or if you're watching on YouTube right now, here's how I played last night on Prize Picks. LeBron for more than 25, Luka for more than 45.5 combined, and Tatis I played for less than 1.5 bases. I was following the game all night from the Laker game, and he was 0 for 1, 0 for 2, 0 for 3. It was getting into the latter part of the game. Now he's 0 for 4. Fernando Tatis last night, 0 bases, and I played him for less than 1.5. This $20 bet and a $20 play on Prize Picks.
How much?
$100. If you put it back up on the screen, look at what it says.
Oh, yeah, it says $100.
It says $100 right there. So here's what I want you to do. Download the Prize Picks app. Use our code GREATFRIENDS. You make your first deposit. They'll match it 100% up to $100. I put in $100 at the beginning of the football season. I've never put in any more money. I've won almost $2,000. My account has about $300+ in it right now. But last night's the first night where I've actually felt like, wow, this was kind of cool. I won beyond just the two. Usually I play two players for more or less, and then it's a 3-to-1 payoff. Last night
I played
three
players. And you're always going more.
Not always. I played Caitlin Clark in the national championship game to go for less than 32 points. She scored 30.
True. I do remember that. Yeah. You and Browner, you guys are more guys.
Yeah. Are you a less guy?
I'm a negative person in general, so I think I'm a less guy. Yeah.
We should figure out every day a prize pick around the Padres.
Yeah, we could do it. I wish we could pull up Friday's numbers, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's do this. Before we do that, let's go back to what we were talking about related to Musgrove and Darvish. These are your top two guys. And yeah, they went out and they got Cease right at the beginning of or at the end of spring training, and they got King in the trade for Soto. But look at the numbers, Alex. Take us through the numbers of Musgrove and Darvish.
Joe more than Darvish overall, but their last two outings both were rough. So on the season, Musgrove's 1-2, 6.87 ERA. Look at this batting average against, 3.42. It's a monster number. On yesterday, four innings pitch, four earned runs. Whereas Darvish, they don't look as bad, 0-1, 3.86, 2.35. But on Monday, three innings pitch, four earned runs. They ended up winning that game because it was a historic comeback. But last night, just absolutely nothing. And this is exactly what I was talking about with you, Scott. It's when they have these games, when they have these monster outputs of runs, when they have a big swinging kind of game, you're like, oh, this is going to be the start of something. And again, it wasn't. And here's what I mean. Against San Francisco, the game I went to on the 31st of March, they won 13-4. It was like, at one point, it was 12-0. And the next day, they come back, lose 6-2 against the Cardinals. They got five hits. On Monday, they beat the Cubs 9-8, nine-run comeback, just massive game, momentum. Everybody's talking about how it's different this year. Then on Tuesday, they lose 5-1, four total hits. They have not won more than two in a row this season, and technically that two in a row was the second game in Korea and the home opener against the Giants. Mm-hmm. So there was a week apart. So there was no momentum whatsoever.
Yeah,
it's just been that. Up and down, no momentum either way. That's what the Padres did last year. Remember, they were the only team to not have, what, a 3-4 game win streak? Like, they were the only team last year to not have I got to remember, 3 or 4 games, whatever it was. I mean, they haven't shown to be any different this year. They really haven't.
And, you know, they've got this last game against the Cubs. And then, listen, you're going to go play the Dodgers in L.A.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you, I wish I was going to go to those games at Dodger Stadium, but this weekend, you know, Friday night, I'm going to go see Linda Welby's husband play Band Overboard. I'm going to be down in OB on Friday night, and then on Saturday night, I got a friend's birthday party up in North County. So as much as I would love to be in L.A. this weekend for the Padres and the Dodgers, not going to happen. I actually thought about going Friday night, but if I were going to be in L.A. on Friday night, I wanted to go see the Black Crows. So this whole Dodgers-Padres series, I'll have to watch a bunch of it on TV. Do you have the start times for these games this weekend?
Yes, I can get it for you. But
The reason I ask is this. Listen, I'll tell you guys. All I've seen of Ohtani so far are really the highlights. You know, the first home run, and then Ohtani starting to heat up and hitting some home runs, and you know, Mookie Betts being one of the leaders in baseball and home runs, and I saw Mike Trout hit another bomb last night. We'll see how long Trout lasts with the Angels before he gets hurt this year, and then he misses a significant part of the season. The Padres-Dodgers this weekend will be the first time I actually sit down to really, really watch what's going on. And that's why I wanted to know what time the games are.
So 7:10 on Friday, 6:10 on Saturday, and 4:00 ESPN national game on Sunday.
Yeah, you see that 4:00 game on Sunday. That's the kind of game that this is where I miss football season and Sundays and sports bars and like really being engaged in games. Sunday at 4:00, that's one of those games where I'm like, we're going to a sports bar, we're drinking beer, we're eating wings, and we're watching this baseball game.
I want to ask Dodger fans one question before we go to break. How's it feel to have all your stars perform? Like all of them. Like Will Smith's hitting 400 right now. Mookie Betts is hitting like 380. Freeman's hitting like 330. Otani's like hitting 330.
Otani's hit like 500 in the last like six games.
Even the new guy they got from the Mariners he was a free agent. They gave him like $25 million to Oscar Hernandez.
Yeah.
He's leading the team in RBIs. Mm-hmm. He's crushing balls. It's like, how does that feel? I want to experience that for like 2 weeks would be nice.
I know. Yeah. It would be so great if Bogarts, Tatis, Machado, Cronenworth,
and Kim.
If everybody could just like go on a hot streak together at the same time. Right.
At the same time.
I know. And then there could be lots of Polaroid pictures, which must be a new phenomenon inside the Padres.
No, it's not. It's been going on for 2 years.
They had a book about that.
There's a book.
Right. Yeah. Forgot about the book. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, stick around. Coming up, we're going to make a hard left turn here. Troy Johnson, who is from San Diego Magazine, but he's also from the Food Network, and he's a local San Diego guy, and we got to get to know him better. Stick around. This is Kaplan and Crew. All right, great friends. Hey, it's Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man coming to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. And I'm super stoked about today's show, like I mentioned. You know, having Coach Brian Dutcher on the show earlier and recapping the San Diego State season, that was awesome. It's got me glowing all day. But I'm telling you right now.
And you made brunch plans.
And we did make brunch plans. That's exactly. And you know what? And our next guest, Troy Johnson, might have a great suggestion as to where we should have brunch. This is Troy's first time on the show, and I know it's going to be the first of many. So today's going to be like our get to know you with Troy, and there's so much to unpack here. So let me not waste any time. Here we go. Troy Johnson for the first time on Kaplan and Crew. Troy, welcome. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I am no Brian Dutcher. If he is a brunch, I am running eggs that's left over in the pan with the sterno. Yeah, I mean, just that lukewarm, runny, should I eat this? You know, what kind of establishment is this? That's the kind of guest I am, but I appreciate you having me on.
Troy, we got to start from the beginning. Check me on this, because you and I, we connected a couple years ago at a Padres game. Yeah. We were out in the right field pavilion that I think at the time, what was the name of that liquor that
Templeton Rye Deck.
Templeton Rye Deck. Mm-hmm. And you and I were out there.
And if you hit a home run, if they hit a home run into one of the barrels, they were stacked up like six, somebody won $1 million. Nobody ever did it.
You know, I don't even think I knew that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Troy and I connected out there, and we knew each other, but we didn't really know each other well. And then Troy tells me, because this is probably, if I had to guess, this could have been like 2021, Troy.
Yeah.
You had told me, you're like, dude, I bought San Diego Magazine. I've always been a huge fan of the magazine. And you were like, dude, what a terrible idea to buy a magazine in the middle of COVID, right?
It is so true. That was probably the first time I had seen the outside world in months. So we bought that magazine and the whole media company coming out of a global pandemic. It had a baby the same exact week, Scott. The same exact week. You do not have a baby by a media company coming out of a global pandemic at the same week. You break both your legs, you move to Mexico, you change your name. You know, I mean, make sure you can stay there. You know, it was crazy. It was like, it's like that story of I bought a zoo, right? You know, but I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I won't go on for a full-fledged biopic of just me talking, but you know, I've done Food Network. I've done media in San Diego for a long time, but I've been on Food Network for 13 years. And I was traveling around the country when the pandemic hit. I woke up to five, and I've been covering the food scene for 14 as the food critic for San Diego Mag. Pandemic hits. I wake up to 500 messages from local moms and pops and restaurants saying the exact same thing. Help. I need help right now, Troy. You've told my story. I need help. So I didn't know what to do. Traditional media wasn't fast enough. I opened up my Instagram. We sat there and we talked about their stories. We showed their food on video and we laughed, we cried, and we sent people down to buy food for them to keep them going through another day. This was before PPP. And I'm not painting myself out to be a saint by any means. There's a lot of people who did a lot more during the pandemic than I did, but it was just the most meaningful thing I'd ever done. My wife looked at me and she goes, "This is the most happy I've ever seen you in media. You're telling the stories of the people in your community. Why don't we buy San Diego Magazine and do that more?" I was like, shit. Okay. Yeah, I'm in. You know?
Wow. Listen, I'll tell you something, man. I loved San Diego Magazine. I'm talking like, you know, 15 plus years ago.
Yeah.
In fact, not only did I love the magazine so much, and this is the old school, Troy. This is the hard copy. You know,
oh yeah.
Now listen, I still see the print version in grocery stores and stuff, you know.
It's part of what we do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But back then, before the whole digital transformation from print to digital, I loved San Diego Magazine. I used to love about it is and this is just gives you an idea of how shallow I am. Dude, I used to when I would go to all these like charity events around town. Yeah. Like I always like, oh, I hope I make it into San Diego Magazine, because they would always have like those cool society sections. Like, yeah. Hey, here's Scott and his wife with so-and-so and so-and-so. And they're at the, you know, opening of this show for this organization, you know, or they're at this charity event. And I always wanted to make it into the society section of San Diego Magazine.
Scott, that is not shallow whatsoever. You know how much effort it takes for a person, but also specifically because we're three men here, a man to get up and get dressed and look presentable for American society? It is hard. I'm wearing pajama pants right now. I only have a shirt up top. All right? So when you finally do that, you'd like a little bit of recognition, and making a magazine to show your wife that you actually showered is a really nice thing.
Yeah, and you can see yourself on TV. You can hear yourself on radio. You see yourself on YouTube. But there's something about being in print still. You know, it's like this, this feel of it. Like, look at you. Like you're printed somewhere.
Yeah. But you know what's funny? You say that, Alex. I mean, that's when we came into San Diego Magazine. I said, look, we're looking for the future. I want to create a Food Network South. What I learned to do on Food Network, I want to do it in San Diego. We're gonna do video. We're gonna do film. First person hired as a filmmaker. You know, and I said, do we need to kill the print publication? I wasn't heartless. I had such an icon and everything else. But we looked at it. We listened to people, and they're like, "We love this thing." And there is something about it. We've talked to, you know, huge celebrities. They're like, "You don't make it until you make the cover of your hometown glossy four color magazine. It's an Airbnb for your brain. We get bloops and bleeps and everything else, and we participate in the bloops and bleeps. But when you just have that one page open and it's four color glossy, and you're just focused on that thing, it's spa water for your cranium, man. It's just nice."
Totally right on. We're talking to Troy Johnson. Yeah, Troy owns San Diego Magazine now. And as he mentioned, you know, he's spent over a decade on the Food Network. We'll talk about that coming up in a quick second. But I loved San Diego Magazine so much, Troy, that I'm telling you, this is going back when we used to have a studio in Petco Park.
Yeah.
I remember pitching San Diego Magazine on doing a story about me and Billy Ray. That's how much I loved the magazine, that I wanted to be in it. I wanted to be featured in it. They did the most incredible expose on our radio show back then, when we were really in the heart of our, when we were the most popular we had been. Chargers were on fire. Petco Park was relatively new. They did the most amazing article about our show, and they actually did these caricatures of us that became like part of what we used for years thereafter, because they were that great. So I've always loved San Diego Magazine. When you told me you bought the magazine, I was so happy for you. I was happy for the brand. And I was really envious, like, wow, what a smart business move. Although you kind of make it seem like at the time it probably didn't feel that way.
Oh my God, it was a complete rebuild, man. You know, I mean, anything coming out of the pandemic, there's no way just me and average guy. I don't think writers are allowed to own anything. You know, I mean, I think it's in the bylaws of the Constitution. If you decide to be a writer, you're prevented from owning like other than like a stick of gum and a book. That's it. You know, so when we took it over, you know, it was, look, we had to rebuild the entire thing. We knew it. We knew it. It had that name, had that emotion. People's grandparents read this. People's parents read this. You know, I didn't want to see a media icon fall into the hands of somebody who's out of town and didn't give a damn about the city. You know what I mean? I felt like we could take this over and make it uniquely local, tell some really great stories and give it a new blood, you know, bring in more art, make it weird. That's in our actually constitution. Just make it weird. If you have one option that's safe, one option that's weird, you know, make it weird. So we didn't know what we were getting into, but I feel like there's a lot of people who, you know, I'm being raised in this media scene. You know, I hosted a pregame show, a bad pregame show for the Padres.
Let me tell you, you brought it up earlier. And I said to Alex, I go, do you know about this? And actually, you know, you say it was bad, but it was very innovative at the time. Troy, what year was it that you were hosting this Padres pregame show that was kind of like a game show?
It was a pregame show of the pregame show. So I don't know how much foreplay you actually need for baseball. I think that was too much. But they just come off the playoffs. So it was 2006.
You said it was a pregame show for a pregame show?
Yeah. So there was John Weisbarth.
We know what that's about.
We do know what that's about. We do. We did last year on Cox when the Padres moved to Cox, where they added Cox. We actually did a 15-minute pregame show before the Padres pregame show came out. So we get it. And I remember, so just go back. It's got to be, 2006, 2007-ish? Tell us what was going on back then.
So that was it. So I had come off. Look, I wrote for like Rolling Stone and Spin, and I was a music editor for Alternative Weekly in San Diego. And I had this underground music show where I convinced a new studio, Fox 6 at the time, to let me bring in these touring bands and have local bands in the studio after their new news. We had Maroon 5's first ever television performance. It was in that little studio in near Convoy.
We had
Brandi Carlile, TV on the Radio, Peaches, all this kind of stuff. So I had that job, and I had the pregame show for the Padres. You know, and that was, I mean, it was fun. 15 minutes. You said your show was 15 minutes. That's the perfect amount of time.
Yeah.
Because mine was an hour long. And they thought we were going to have all these celebrities coming through Petco Park. And I was going to be the John, they wanted me to be the John Stewart of baseball. And I was like, guys, you realize we're in San Diego, right? Like, we have Ralph Rubio, Tony Hawk, and Tony Gwynn, you know.
Ralph Rubio. That's great.
That's so crazy. The Padres were good that year, right?
They were great.
Yeah.
You know, it was me and the producers doing this stretch, stretch, stretch. And I was just filling the air with whatever came out of my brain. It was fun, man. We had a good time. But then the American economy collapsed and I lost that show. I lost the underground music show and I was done. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do with my life? And I had a full career moment. And I went into this fancy magazine that had, you know, skinny people who needed just a morsel of food in their lives on the cover of the magazines. You know, it was a very fancy, you know, society publication. And I was like, look, a friend of mine worked there. I need a senior editor position. I want to write. I don't want to do TV because if I write and I lose a couple teeth and I gain a couple pounds, I'm going to be able to still do what I do. TV, that's questionable. So I took this job and they're like, look, you're going to have to write about food. I knew nothing about food. I knew that I went and got a carne asada burrito at 1 a.m. after going to the Casbah. That's what I knew, you know? And I said, of course, I love writing about food. I would love to do that. Yes, sir. I need a job. And so I filled my Golden Hill apartment with flashcard after flashcard, thousands of flashcards. I mean, we're talking stacks 3 feet high of flashcards of culinary terms. I gave myself a culinary education over like 3 years. And then I did this little stand-up and sent it into Food Network. And I started off like, I was born in a walk-in refrigerator in the south of France. I was breastfed by Wolfgang Puck. I'm just kidding. I was raised by a woman who owned a microwave, and that was her greatest culinary skill. And I did that, and I just didn't give a shit. I kind of sent this in. Sorry, but I don't know if you can cuss on here. I apologize.
Well, we gotta edit for radio, but that's okay. Keep going.
So I do this and I send it in and they sent me back. The casting director said, look, you kind of made us laugh. We just, you know, we're going to send this on. And 3 weeks later, I get a call from Food Network on my own show. They kind of wanted me to be the Bourdain because I write. That's what I do. You know, and they sent me across the country. They're like, what do you want to do in your life? You want it for a food show? I'm like, I want to figure out what they can and cannot eat in space because you're not allowed to eat bread in space because the crumbs get into the gear.
Oh my God.
All that kind of stuff. I want to go around the world and figure out what different cultures are feeding their babies in formula. I've all the ideas are, how about you chase the country for the best burgers and pizza and just shut up, kid? I'm like, that sounds great to me too.
Yeah, I'll take that.
That sounds great. That sounds awesome. Great. So Troy, we're talking to Troy Johnson. He owns San Diego Magazine, he and his wife, I should say, and what they've done with this magazine is fantastic because it's not only the print version, but the digital version, obviously, sandiegomagazine.com is even, you know, that much better. And for somebody like you, Alex, who's a foodie, who's into the beer scene.
Well, the foodie, I had Troy's vocabulary in 2006 with food. I have that right now. I'm like, ooh, good. Yeah.
Well, you know, Troy, I was saying to Alex before you came on, Alex actually had told the story, you should tell it, Alex, about how when you checked out Troy's Instagram, what you found out.
Yeah, it's funny like what people react to in this job, right? We can talk to the most famous athletes ever. We could talk to the comedians. But it's, you never know what's going to hit, right? Yeah. And when I go on your Instagram, like half my followers follow you. And I was like, oh, awesome. And I messaged my buddy who's in the food industry. He's a chef. Yeah. And I was like, yo, you follow Troy. Like, we're about to interview him. He's like, I love Troy. Biggest fan. Can't wait till he comes to the restaurant. So yeah, it's like, it's first of all, it's nice to meet you and it's great to know you. And it's cool because I told this to Scott, you know, people tell me I have a cool job. People tell me I have to have great experiences. Yeah. But then I look at you, I'm like, I want to go eat burritos and pizza across the country.
Dude,
that sounds awesome.
You got to invest. I had to invest in that Peloton. That's for sure, man. I spent so much time down at the Y before, you know, the pandemic, trying to lose the pounds that I would put on every day. It's a continual yo-yo. But thank you, man. I'm glad that guy didn't say it. That guy's a dick.
I always I always wonder about that because, like, I see you have, and I don't know if it's still going on. Please excuse me for not knowing, but
no worries.
You've worked with Guy Fieri for a long time, right?
And it's still going on. I'm actually leaving tomorrow night to go film more with Guy on Guy's Grocery Games.
So I love him. I think he's great. I've had a chance to meet him a couple times at NFL games, take pictures, blah blah blah. I don't know him, but I'm a fan, right?
Yeah.
And when I watch Guy Fieri as an example, I see him go to these places, diners, drive-ins, and dives, right?
Yeah.
And he goes and he eats something and he's like, oh my God, this is great, blah, blah, blah. But for me, like if somebody brings food into the studio and I'm like, oh my God, this is so great, I eat the whole thing because I can't stop. I have no willpower. So right. So do they, when you're shooting a TV show, Troy, and they say cut, do you stop eating or you be like, oh my God, this is so good, I can't stop eating it?
Oh yeah, no, I don't have much self-preservation instinct in my life, to be quite honest with you. I can overdo it with everything. I can overdo it with words. I can overdo it with air. I think I binge ox oxygen, you know, but with food, I've been able to, and I think it's because I have a 2-bite rule. Right. And I didn't realize this when I first started doing Food Network.
You said 2-bite rule.
A 2-bite rule. Very upset with me. Yeah. A 2-bite rule. I have to only do 2 bites because I know, like, sometimes we'll go into these restaurants and you're going to eat for camera. They're going to say, like, oh, you know what? You looked a little funky on that one. Or, like, you know, your nostril was like this. Can you just take another bite? You know, you're like, okay. And then you're looking at this fried chicken. You're 6 fried chickens in. You know, I mean, you're like 1980s. Yeah. Nutrition doesn't exist. All that exists is KFC and your dad at a park. You know what I mean? You're just crushing this stuff. Like, you're going to lose all the pounds in 6 weeks. You have to learn how to do a couple bites. And then also, like, I mean, I've even done spit buckets. I'll do the county fair because I love the fair. I don't care. I don't care how. If I never get bigger than this, I hope they help me have me back. If I ever get really, really big, I hope they invite me and I will come down every single year and try all that fair food. I just love it. I'm a kid from San Diego. So I go down and eat, like, every single thing that they do, and I have a spit bucket. I do, because I'm just tasting. I'm a taster. If I ate everything, I would be, I don't know if what we would be having this conversation.
That is so funny that you say that, because I swear to you, I've watched so many of these food shows and I thought to myself, how do they do it, man? Yeah. I would be eating everything. And if I see you go and try a cheesesteak sandwich and they've cut it in half, I'm like, I'm eating the whole half. But yeah, then the problem is I'm going to eat the other half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just breaking it down into shifts for you.
Yeah.
I watched David Chang's show on Netflix, the live cooking. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen it. And he had Seth Rogen and this actor, Ike Barinholtz, right? And David's cooking monstrous amounts of food.
Yeah.
Like, and putting him in front of them. And you see Rogan goes ham in the paint, right? Just boom, boom, boom. And then, like, third course, he's one bite in because he's stuffed, bro. Like, that would be me. I would be full on the first contestant. Like, I'm good.
Rogan gets called for charging.
Yeah. Yeah. Offensive foul. He ate all the pizza. You know,
I know.
Because I don't know how I genuinely, I'm with Scott, dude. I don't know how you do that.
It is kind of hard. You know what I mean? And look, with anything, the interesting thing about this, and before, a New York Times critic wrote something about it, you know, always being around, he left the industry and he was a great writer. And and he left it because he was continually battling the weight gain that you deal with in this. You know, we do take in a lot of calories. That's why you have to take very intentional bites. Like, I'll take a bite just as a normal person would, right? That first bite. Then the second bite, I close my eyes like a weirdo. You know, and I compose the perfect bite, and I think how the chef would want me to do it, because there's a little bit of acid over here with this, you know, marmalade or whatever it is. There's a little bit of the protein. There's a little bit of this base over here, like mushrooms or potatoes or whatever. And I put that all together. I take that one bite, and I really just kind of listen, turn off all the senses, and taste it, and kind of feel the texture and everything else. This is starting to sound sexual and gross, but that is what I do, and I pay attention. I really focus on that, and then I'm done.
It's funny that they're on your website, and I'll direct everybody to it. It's heytroyjohnson.com.
Yeah.
On that website, there's a video, a YouTube video of kind of what you do. And there's a part where Guy Fieri says, you know, do you know anything about cooking, or do you just write about food? Something like that. And then all of a sudden Guy is like teaching you how to use knives and how to get into stuff. And you have a great line. You're like, you know, I think Guy's whole being is about kind of teasing me that I'm just a food writer. I'm not actually a chef like he is, you know? And that's just it. Like, I don't know anything about, you know, I'm not a stand-up comedian, but gosh, I love stand-up comedy and I love talking to stand-up comedians, you know? And I look at what you do as somebody who writes about food and who's a television personality about food. So besides the Food Network and working with Guy, are you still doing the Big Ten show as well on the Big Ten Network?
We just renewed. It's funny because I'm going to film Guy's Grocery Games until the 17th. And then on the 20th, the 29th, we're leaving for LA because the Big Ten Network just picked up UCLA, USC, the Ducks in Oregon, and the Huskies up in Seattle. We just got back from filming up there. We're doing season 5 right now. Yeah, so that's been really fun too. I gotta tell you really quickly a quick story about Guy and food writing. This extension of what you just said, 2 weeks, I didn't know I was going to work with Guy. 2 weeks before I start working, I get the call for Guys Grocery Games. And this has now been 8 or 9 years because I've been on since day one. I've been on 170 episodes of the show. And he got the worst review of the New York Times that has ever done. The meanest, most brutal review I've ever heard of is Union Square, New York restaurant. I think it was called Guys Union Kitchen or something like that. And it was just a takedown. Somebody sent it to me online on Twitter and said, hey, as a food critic, what do you think about this? I said, I didn't know Guy. I didn't know I was going to be working with him. I'm like, this is awful food writing. This is a character assassination. You don't use this for that. You have a good time. You teach people something about food and culture. Anyways, I get the call a week later for Guy's Grocery Games. And he said, you're going to work with Guy. I'm in my trailer. I'm meditating. I'm weird about that too. Every time I go on, I meditate. And so I get a knock on the door and they say, Guy wants to meet you. So I walk in to Guy's trailer. Hey, first time you see Guy, it's like seeing a cartoon character come to life because mm-hmm. he's so big. You're like, oh my God, you have real teeth and hair and skin. Like I resisted the urge to like grab his cheeks, you know? And so, I'm disoriented a little bit. He goes, hey, I heard you're a food critic. He goes, I effing hate food critics. And I go, and I knew this review had just happened. I go, oh, he goes, but I heard you're kind of funny. You got one shot. Kind of kidding on the square, like I want you to know I don't like your kind, but I heard that you're not like your kind, you know. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm fired. And honestly, Alex, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me because I went into that, I all the stress fell off because I'm like, this is my last show that I'm ever gonna do with this dude, you know. He hates anything about what I do, you know. So I went in there, I just started dropping f-bombs, having a good time, making, you know, innuendos. And he laughed. At one point, he laughed. He looked over and he goes, huh, all right. Ever since. Yeah. You know,
Troy Johnson, listen, this is, like I said, the first of many appearances on our show, man. We're so happy to connect with you. We love what you do at San Diego Magazine. Going to start really getting deep into these Food Network shows and these Big Ten shows. And, dude, really looking forward to having you back. Congratulations on all your amazing success, dude. Yes. Really great.
Stoked to spend time with you guys. Thank you so much. And Alex is wearing shorts, just in case anybody didn't.
Yeah, they know.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Hey, Troy, great being with you, man. Appreciate you, dude.
Dude, you too. Thank you so much for having me, guys. And let me know. I don't know if we're on air, but let me know how I can help.
Okay. Awesome, dude. Thank you. Okay. Everybody stick around. We got lots more to get through. This is Kaplan and Crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. All right, great friends. Time to get uncensored. And Charlie Rolfs, who is the chief marketing officer from Torrey Holistics, California Holistics, Oxnard Holistics, is with us. Charlie, first of all, I wanted to get to you before 4:20 because I figure, dude, your life's going to get really crazy. So thanks for being here today. How's it going?
It's going good. You know, it's all, you can see all my computer screens. It's all deals, products, everything. You know, it's the busiest time of the year for us here. It's really exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you're in the weed business, it's like Christmas right now, 4:20. You know?
It is for sure. And it's so cool that it just kind of started as a stoner holiday. And now, you know, weed's legal and, you know, people are all jumping into it.
Charlie, you're going to love this. Saturday of this past week, I was driving south from San Luis Obispo. My daughter's going to college up there next year. And so as we were driving south, I was like, we got to stop at Oxnard Holistics, dude. I walk into the store. And I saw the sign that said first visit, 20% off, second visit, 30% off, third visit, 35% off. I met the manager. I met one of the young ladies that was working there. I shot videos of the store. I aired them on the show on Monday. Store looks amazing, dude. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. We're super stoked to have a shop up in Oxnard. We're the only dispensary right near the beach there, Oxnard Shores, and it's a great community. People are very welcoming, so it's nice. And I used to live up in Santa Barbara, so I love getting up there as well. It's just a beautiful part of the state.
As much as you love Scott and love us, how much did you love when Brooke Kreischer gave you guys a shout out to his millions of followers on Instagram?
He is freaking hysterical. I've been a fan of his for a long time. You know, he's just a killer stand up. And honestly, just to shout him out, people like that don't need to spend time. Like that's a very kind and generous thing of him to do. You know, he's got 3-something million followers on social media, and that, you know, we're a small business, and him taking the time to shout us out and show us some love, it speaks to the type of dude that he is.
That's so exactly really, right. He's not the kind of guy that's like, hey, I'm not going to put this out there if you don't pay me for my, mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy that's like, hey, everybody, Because according to your manager up there, I don't remember the gentleman's name. Do you,
Angelo.
He said to me, he goes, dude, he lives right down the road. He's got a house down the road. I'm like, I didn't know that. And yeah. Alex is from Oxnard. He said he didn't know that. So for Kreischer to come walking in and give you guys that sort of shout out on social media, dude, that's, you can't pay for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's VIP for life. So the next time he shows up, we're stoking him out.
Yeah. Let's just give him 35% next time. Let's not wait for his third time. So Charlie, love the store in Oxnard. Obviously I'm a Torrey Holistics guy. Alex goes to California Holistics, but between now and 420, what is going on?
Yeah. So the big thing's coming on right now. We're running deals from 419 to 421 at all of our shops. We're doing basic, we're doing like five different things. So I guess nothing's basic. So at Torrey, we're doing for every $100, you get a $20 gift card that you can use in May. So it's just our gift to people for thanking them to come visit us on 420. We're doing these spend and get kind of stash boxes, we're calling them. You spend $50, you can pick an item from this box, 75 or 100 from this box, 150 from the other box. And there's like full eights in there. There's full grand pre-rolls. There's, it's really, and you get to pick what you want. And that's been our main goal for 420, is really just making it easy and not saying, hey, you have to buy this and get this and buy that and get that. No, stop by, get what you want. We'll hook you up with some extra stuff, get you in and out nice and quick. And we're doing that at all at Torrey in California as well. And Oxnard is doing the spend and get buckets. What's the other big deals we're running? I got them all up here.
Hey, you should send me those graphics and I'll post them on our socials as well.
Heck yeah.
People have enough time to get out there.
We have door busters at Torrey Holistics too in California. Items that are, normally $50, $60, you can get for $10. We're just doing the whole shebang. We're going to be announcing all the deals real soon, but I've been in the industry for about 4 years now. This is definitely the best 420 deal-wise that I've been a part of.
I want to give everybody a little hack, and I'll just say it like this. If you're a vapor, if you like carts, dude, on Saturdays, always do your shopping on Saturdays. Because I don't know exactly what the deals are, but I know that when I go in on a Saturday versus like a Wednesday, if you like vape carts, Saturday is the day. Can you explain that to everybody?
Yeah, so we run deals every day of the week, basically, Munchie Monday, Tincture Topical Tuesday, and Saturday is our Smoking Saturday, which is our vape deals. And right now, the deal we have locked in, Gelato Vape Carts, really good brand, really good guys, San Diego people, they are doing half off of all disposables and vape carts. I mean, half off. You literally can't get that anywhere else.
No, it's insane. Hey, Charlie, you got to tell everybody the story, though, of the Joe Musgrove mural that was painted on the side, the freeway side. So on the east side of the building, you got to tell everybody the story about the Joe Musgrove mural at Torrey Holistics.
Yeah. So, we have this really awesome mural done by Ground Floor Murals. The owners of Torrey are huge, huge, huge baseball fans. Sons of one of the owners is a ball player, Padres are our local team, and it's not only just our local team, it's a local team that's freaking good, which is such a nice freaking thing to have in a town. The whole city's coming together around the Padres. We have this killer mural, Joe Musgrove, local hero, and also the fastest pitch ever thrown in Antarctica, which is, I think, my favorite sports stat ever.
Right.
But yeah, we got this killer mural and just come, there's murals all around town and we're happy to add ours to the mix.
So. Yeah, I know. I want people that when you go to Torrey Holistics, you can park on the street side and you can walk in through the front. But if you are getting, if they're going to bring it out to you because you're parked in the back, or if you're going to park in the back parking lot, which can be tight, but go ahead and go back there because you got to see this Musgrove mural. It's freaking awesome, dude. I was there when they were painting it.
Yeah, we love it. We're getting a lot of great feedback about it. And it's, just helping draw some attention to the shop, too, which is always a good thing.
Yeah. Hey, Charlie, I know we got to hustle up, but have a great 420, and we'll talk to you as soon as the holiday is over.
Heck yeah, guys. Great to see you. We'll talk soon.
All right, Charlie. Appreciate you. Hey, remember, everybody, use our code KaplanCrew for 20% off. If it's your first time in 20, your next time in 30, the third time in is 35%. And if you're going to buy cannabis, sleep, anxiety, pain management, recreation, you got to go to our partners, Torrey Holistics and California Holistics. Alex, we're hustling up. We're getting out of here. Peace out to everybody, and we'll see you guys all tomorrow.